Welcome to another episode of Holla Chat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby. Today we are talking about how we even got here. How did we, two people with no broadcasting experience, end up creating a whole podcast about a K-pop group?
I was writing earlier this morning. I was going to try to post a blog post about how we started a podcast, which will obviously, that blog post will be up well before this episode of the podcast. Maybe I'll link it in the description. But one of the reasons that we have gotten close, that we started a podcast, that we started a blog, is this idea that we were like looking for a space where we could enjoy ATs, celebrate ATs with people who also enjoy and celebrate ATs. We wanted a sports bar where everyone rooted for our team. And we were both on Reddit, and that was just not the case.
I truly have a lot of great memories of Reddit. Like, I don't want to paint a wrong picture, because there are a lot of really passionate ATs on Reddit. There are a lot of really thoughtful ATs on Reddit. You know, a lot of the reasons that I was attracted to Reddit in the first place was the discussion. There was a lot of intelligent, thoughtful, meaningful discussion about just things that were going on. And I also went there as sort of, I got on there after Kingdom, but going through Kingdom, I was like, I really wish, because I wasn't on social media, and I was like, I really wish I had like people I could talk about with these, like talk about what's going on, because I was so frustrated with how Kingdom went down, and I wanted to be able to talk about it. And I remember stumbling on Reddit because I was looking for a schedule of AT's activities, and they there was one that they had just posted on Reddit, or I got to just the AT's Reddit, and I just started like poking through things, and I was like, oh, people are just like talking, they're just chatting about things, this is interesting. So that is what drew me to the platform, and there were some very creative and clever ATNEs, some of the most excellent fan content about ATs, I think, has come from Reddit. Just the Songhwa Secretly a Vampire post.
I wrote an excellent post about Jungho being a CEO, a secret CEO that got no attention, but it was great. So I just, you know, plug that.
The Jungho is not a bear.
I think
I could beat Jungho in a fight.
Right.
Just some really fun post that made it very fun to be around. And so like I got on there in 2021, and it felt like that summer was a great time to get on there, because that post Kingdom but still sort of in lockdown kind of wave of people looking for somewhere to congregate and gather, because I remember at that time the sub kind of peaked in membership, the numbers were just going up astronomically every day, and it was just a really fun time to be there and chat. And I feel like the vibe was overall so positive, and not in like a saccharine we're gonna ignore all the problems kind of way, but that when we were discussing things that were happening, it was with a lot more balance and a lot more hope and a lot more optimism.
And a lot less hate.
A lot less hate. And a lot feeling like you're a big, dumb, stupid idiot for liking this boy group.
Right.
On an 18E sub. And it got to the point, and I don't know where the switch came from. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it happened after the split, when the AT sub, like a group split off and created a new AT sub due to some management issues.
And in full disclosure, I was one of the ATNEs that left the sub and became a moderator of the new subreddit. So I could talk more about why we did that, but not yet. You finish.
But at some point, there was a shift where it became fun to bash ATs under the guise of like, oh, we're just having a fun conversation. And I think that, I don't know if I want to really point fingers, but I think I will, because I can edit out later. But I think the big breaking point for me was that post about, you've lost your ATNE card. What was the reason?
Well, that was on the new subreddit.
And
it was mine too. That was also my breaking point. I was a moderator on that subreddit, and I blocked the person who made it. Who was also, I think, a moderator. And then I blocked all the people that commented. And, like, that's a pretty rough thing to do on the subreddit that you moderate.
And when I remember, because the person that made that post, first of all, the comments were so hateful.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Hateful. They were hateful. They hated this about ATs.
I hate this song. I hate this styling. I hate this hair on this member. I think
they're
this
not
is
good
stupid.
In concert. Oh,
they're not
God.
Good in concert. I am still shaken by that opinion in particular, because I just could not fathom. I'm like, what world are you from? What is going on with you?
That was for sure the beginning of the end for me. I did stay on as a moderator for a lot longer. I became less and less passionate about the subreddit. From then, I became less and less passionate about the people posting on the subreddit because I was so offended by these takes. And, you know, I compared it to a sports bar earlier, but yeah, like if I walked into, let's say I was a huge fan of the Texas Rangers because I live in Texas. If I walked into a Texas Rangers sports bar and everyone in there is talking about how every person on the Texas Rangers sucks in their own unique ways, I would want to leave, right? That's not why I came. It's different to talk about like the glory days, like your favorite stuff, like, oh, I wish they would go back to that. I don't always love those conversations either, but at least it feels like there's love underneath. There's a love for ATs. But if you're just sitting there telling me how awful one of their hair looks and how they should never have this hairstyle again, that is a person you're talking about. And you can say that it was the stylist's fault, but we all know that ATs has their own hand in their styling, what they look like. And so if you're sitting there bashing it, you're sitting there bashing real people, and that's not fun. Like, I don't like that.
It felt like, after that, it just felt like people had been unmasked. Okay, this is your true face. Okay, sure. But I remember what was so interesting to me, that the person that made that post went onto like a main sub, like just a K-pop general sub, and they had done that same post on a bunch of different other groups subs, other boy groups specifically, and then did like a compilation, went on the main sub and like, I did this fun post, read all of these comments, and linked to all of them. And one of the things that was so telling to me in those like general comments, like people who were not ATs fans, they were just K-pop fans, were like, wow, ATs don't really like ATs all that much, do they?
Yeah, because like, those were comments, like literal comments on the post. They were like, man, they were sure mean about ATs.
Yeah, they were like, because other groups, it was like, oh, I just haven't watched all of Stray Kids content. I really got to catch up. I'm so sorry,
I'm behind. I haven't gotten to see the boys in person. It's
this
like, okay.
One title track isn't actually my favorite. I like this B-side better. Like all of these gentle, normal opinions to have. And then here come ATs just tearing every part of ATs apart. We don't like the styling and we don't like the music and we don't like the members and we don't like this and we don't like that. And that was just too much for me. I think after that post went up, I think I stopped commenting on the sub at all. It just didn't feel worth it.
One of the things that was most upsetting to me about that is people will complain about other groups. I'll use BTS as an example. On the main subs, they'll complain about how it's so hard to be an ARMY. Everyone on Reddit hates ARMY. Everyone on Reddit hates BTS. I never found that to be true. I did find it to be true for ATs. ATs posts were consistently downvoted across Reddit. There was always, once a week, there was a post about how Jungho can't sing.
Oh my gosh.
Once a week, there was a post about how ATs is falling behind. And that's absolutely true. That was true all the time. So the main subs, for sure, were not a good, safe space to be an ATeenie. You had to really work to, you know, preach the ATs gospel in the main subs, because otherwise you would get downvoted, you would get told that you were wrong, you would get these numbers and views and whatever thrown in your face if, you know, said anything positive about ATs. So to find out that in the ATs space, it also was not a safe space for ATeenie, that hurt. And if ATs hadn't been so, or ATeenie, ATs, whatever, hadn't been so hated and dragged across Reddit, maybe it wouldn't have hurt as much, but it hurt. I guess I will go a little bit into why I wanted to leave the main subreddit, and it was because I felt already like it was negative. There were a ton of negative comments. about ATs and ranting, but there was also this idea that we couldn't spread how to support ATs. Stuff about voting mm-hmm. was not allowed. Stuff about streaming was not allowed. So you couldn't make a post about how to stream. You couldn't make a post about how to vote. If you wanted to talk about those things, you were only allowed to talk about them in this very segregated area where, like, only other people who were going to talk about those things would go to. It was just not a friendly place if you were trying to figure out how to support ATs in one of those different ways. And that was my big problem with it, because I am a voter and I am a streamer. I wanted to be able to talk about those things without feeling like I was doing something bad and dirty. I shouldn't be made to feel like a criminal because I want to vote and stream, and that I have to go to this dark back alley corner if I want to talk about those things. Mm-hmm.
For so context, ATs on Reddit are pretty famously not, I wouldn't say they're anti-voting and anti-streaming, but they're anti-guilt-tripping.
Right.
In that.
Which I am too. But...
Yeah. But they, for them, the line is not in a, is in a completely different place. If you just talk about, oh yeah, we should stream, or oh yeah, we've reached this number of views, that's you guilt-tripping them because right. they're obviously not doing it.
If you say ATs reached 10 million views, if that is the sentence that you say on in certain circles on Reddit, that is you guilt tripping, mm-hmm. which is not guilt tripping.
No.
Guilt tripping is like you're a monster if you don't mm-hmm. stream. ATs is going to fail because of you personally. Mm-hmm. That's guilt tripping. Mentioning that, oh, if you want to download this app, you can vote for them for Music Core. Mm-hmm. That's not guilt tripping. That's giving people information. They can... If they feel guilty, that's on them. Like, I have nothing to do with your reaction to me stating factual information. But it was so anti-guilt tripping that guilt tripping was mentioning the words voting, streaming, views, music show wins. Mm-hmm. And that was why I wanted to leave the main subreddit. And supposedly that kind of came about because of Kingdom. Mm. Supposedly there was a lot of problems with it during Kingdom, a lot of fighting, and so they were like, we're just gonna banish it altogether. And I can see that. I wasn't there for it, yeah. So I don't know, but as a person who does do those things and wants to talk about those things and wants to be around other 18s who also do and talk about those things, like, mm-hmm. that was really frustrating. Even sharing a streaming playlist was foul play. Mm. And I think things have changed, in fairness. I don't know that they have, but I think they have. I think the stance was lightened, possibly in response to the new sub being created. I know there were several things that we initiated in the new sub that were later adopted by the older sub. And for full disclosure, I have no problems with the older subreddit. I didn't go back after I left because I didn't feel welcome. A lot of my comments on the older subreddit, like, I had commented a lot, they were all deleted. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any ill will towards that subreddit, but, you know, I'm obviously not going to go back because I don't think I'm wanted, and I don't like to go places where I'm not wanted. So
from my perspective, because I was not, like, I wasn't one of the mutinies who left, but I mean, I did go become active on the other sub, but I wasn't
right.
I just found out it was happening afterwards. I was like, oh, okay. But I did notice that in that fall of 2021, a lot of comments in the tavern were just being deleted. Posts were being removed, and it all felt kind of arbitrary, and it felt like there was a lot of censoring mm-hmm. happening, where you would go in the tavern and it would just be comment after comment, removed by moderator, removed by moderator, removed by moderator. And it was like, what is happening?
For context, the tavern was like a weekly pinned post where mm-hmm. people were supposed to be allowed to chat about whatever they wanted.
Right.
So this was like a pinned post on Reddit. You could talk about whatever. So it wasn't like a discussion post or things needed to stay on topic or anything. Mm-hmm. Just for people who aren't familiar with
the lingo. Mm-hmm. There was this weird sort of oppressive kind of feeling mm-hmm. in the sub as we got into like November and December of 2021, which that was me not even knowing that there was a whole mutiny brewing. I was just mm-hmm. like, wow, things are kind of weird. What's going on? Because we had been in like this heyday just a couple months before. And then suddenly mm-hmm. there was this big shift mm-hmm. where now it was like, you can't really talk about anything. You've got to be very careful because the, you know, the mod is going to remove stuff. And it was just weird.
Like, I know that some of my comments were removed for being about streaming and about mm-hmm. voting. And, you know, in my opinion, my comments weren't about those things. Mm-hmm. it felt to me really frustrating. Mm-hmm. I will say that when we did start the new sub, it was a good place. In the beginning, it was very good. There were a lot of 18-ies that had been unhappy mm-hmm. on the older sub. And so a lot of them did come to the new sub, and it was pretty active. There were good conversations. Things were pretty good for a long time. But yeah, it went downhill, mm-hmm. obviously. Actually, before the split, this probably happened during the split, and it might be my fault that I dragged you to the new subreddit, because we had started a Reddit book club.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to make it unconnected from the sub, because I told you in confidence, I was like, you know, just so you know, mm-hmm. this is happening. We will be leaving this subreddit and starting a new one, so we probably shouldn't connect it to this old subreddit. So we didn't.
No.
And our book club lasted a little bit, and then it died.
Yeah, it lasted for a few months. I think it was just too niche to support a strong... We couldn't get it to do anything on its own, I think. If anything was going to happen on that sub, we had to be the ones to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just was not the original vision, and became just a lot of a burden to bear. So we still read books. I still read books through the lens of, what does this have to do with 80s? Can I connect this to the Lord? Does this teach me something about them? It wasn't the reading books that was the problem.
Right.
It was trying to read the books for everybody, like trying to be the content makers instead of just mm-hmm. not guiding the content, but creating a space for content. And we tried so many different ways. We tried to fix it in so many different, you know, maybe we should have more discussions on Discord, or maybe everybody should just read whatever they want and we just have a theme, or, you right. know, maybe we should have people suggest books that they want to read. We tried everything. And I think that because we did eventually tie it to the new sub, which was considerably smaller than the
yes.
old sub, we were
yes.
pulling from a smaller group of people, which, you know, probably led to just not quite reaching all the people that would want to be involved in that sort of thing.
So. Yeah, that is what I was gonna say. We were hurt by the fact that the new sub was much smaller. Mm-hmm. Had we tied it to the other sub, well, one, we wouldn't have been able to, because I know that the moderator did not allow my content anymore, so mm-hmm. we couldn't have tied it to the new sub or the old sub. It had to be the new sub. I guess we could have tied it to no sub, but I do think in general having a smaller group to pull from was a problem. I was ambitious to do with a small amount of people. It was ambitious to do on Reddit, to have a book club on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, an in-person book club is always going to be easier. And, you know, we did talk about, well, can we do our book club conversations on Discord because it's more live?
Mm-hmm.
But that was also really hard. It's just hard for two people to make a thing happen
mm-hmm.
if that thing that you're trying to make happen requires an audience.
Right.
Which
yet
is,
here we are again. Doing that same thing.
This doesn't actually require an audience,
I guess,
for
not.
Us to do. But that is why we started the blog, right? Mm-hmm. After our book club failed, after we became disenchanted with the people on Reddit and how Reddit was towards ATs specifically, we started a blog where we were like, we can talk about whatever we want here. Mm-hmm. And we did call it our field of dreams.
Yes.
If we build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is an attitude that we have tried to keep since then. We're just going to do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And people who like it will like it, and people who don't won't. But the people who don't, we don't want.
Right.
So that's fine. If you don't like what we're doing, that's super your opinion, and you're so welcome to it, and that's fine. Just don't listen. Don't read our blog.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're looking for are people who do think like us, who do want to celebrate ATs in the way that we celebrate ATs, who want to talk about ATs, discuss things that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so the podcast is, you know, a natural offshoot of that. Like, we can talk about ATs. Hopefully we do find people who feel similarly to us and they can contact us in the ways that we've made available. And that would be so cool. But mm-hmm. at least we have our place.
Right. I know that a lot of ATs have found a place on other platforms. Like, some ATs are having a great time over on Twitter, and some ATs yep. are having a great time on Instagram, and some are having fun over on TikTok, and some are still on Reddit, and like, everybody's some people have found their place. Mm-hmm. But those places were never going to be the place for me, you know, because I favor a more like long form kind of content. I don't want right. to write, you know, a tweet. I want to write a whole post. Right. I want to dig deep into this random book that I read and how it, all the things that it reminds me of ATs. Mm-hmm. And I think that every platform has its charms mm-hmm. and its uses mm-hmm. and also other things that are not charming.
I'm on every single platform. I'm not much on Reddit anymore, but I do pop in occasionally. But I'm on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, and I am semi-active on all of those platforms, but mm-hmm. they still aren't my platform, it feels like. Even when I make tweets, I often will make a thread that's like 1,000 tweets long.
Right.
Please enjoy my essay that I've turned into a tweet. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I'll make like a small tweet, but it's so rare. I am so like not at home at all on Twitter. And the only thing that I do appreciate about Twitter is how easy it is to block people. Mm. That's not the case on Reddit. On Reddit, if you're trying to like curate your feed, like they can see that you've blocked them. Mm-hmm. That it will show up as like user has blocked you.
Right. So. And like, as far as like when you scroll through all the different posts, you can, mm-hmm. you know, subscribe to subs.
Yeah.
And then whatever gets posted on that sub will show up on your feed. But it's right. like, you can't block certain, like I wanted the ability to block any post that contained these words. I want every single post that has the phrase paved the way off my timeline. I don't want it. I don't want it on my feed. Whatever they're saying is not worth my time. I want every post that has the phrase lost their sound. I want it gone.
Fourth gen leader out.
Fourth gen leader. Not. I don't care. Don't care. First of all, we don't even know. We're not going to know who the fourth gen leader was until years from now. When we look mm-hmm. back and we see whose influence trickled down, mm-hmm. that's when we're going to know who led the generation. We're still in the generation. I know that fifth gen has started apparently, but fourth yeah. gen is still active and they're still growing and they're still doing things. Also, that conversation of which gen and this gen is different and why is fourth gen and just every little complaint about fourth gen. Fourth gen got so much hate on Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for
the
existing.
Whole generation. That was true for almost every group. Mm-hmm. Less true for girl groups who are beloved on Reddit.
Reddit did become girl group territory. And I do think that that is why ATs did get a lot of... It was very obvious that ATs was getting a lot of hate because the girl group stans would really despise any big boy groups. And ATs yeah. is big enough to be considered a big boy group, but they don't have a big enough fandom to be able to drown out and counterbalance all the hate the way that BTS or Stray Kids or Seventeen do. So it was like, I feel like, you know, being an ATNY, we sort of suffer all of the struggles of a big group and we don't get as many of the perks of being a big group.
We don't have the big fandom that comes with a big group mm-hmm. to counteract. Like, if you look at an ATEEZ comeback post on our K-pop, mm-hmm. a comeback announcement post or the music video, it's getting 300 upvotes. Mm-hmm. Basically, any other group is getting 700, 800 upvotes. And it's because we don't have the fandom power to counteract all those downvotes. So we're just getting lots of downvotes. Mm-hmm. So not only is ATEEZ content not getting upvoted, it's getting buried because that's the way Reddit works. If something has a lot of downvotes, it's getting buried. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to even find the ATs content unless you're doing like I did, which was searching in the search bar for ATs mm-hmm. every day at to find it. So yeah, we just don't have the fandom power to overcome the obstacles of also being hated.
Right. Which was, I mean, not to go back to Kingdom, but that is my beef with Kingdom, is that right. We did not have the fandom size to be able to counteract the voting for three group system that Mnet created, which is the reason why ATs struggled to place every single time. You know, they would get great marks from the judges and great marks from the other groups who were there. But then when it came to the fandoms, because if you have the biggest fandom and you have to vote and everybody's got to vote for three groups, that gives the biggest fandom the power to target a group they do not like and elevate other groups above this group that they do not like.
And we knew who the judge picked for first before voting happened. So if you knew that ATs was in first place and you want your group to be in first place, even if you don't have a problem with ATs, even if you like ATs, even if you thought their stage was great, they're just not your group.
Yeah.
You're not going to vote for them for second because you know that they already have the advantage of the judges putting them in first place. So you've got to get them down. You have to vote for other groups in second and third. And what they ended up doing was voting for groups who did the worst.
Or not necessarily did the worst, but who had smaller fandoms and weren't getting the same level of support as ATs were. So we were like a mid fandom. Like we were right there in the middle as far as like fandom sizes. Like if you look at the streaming, ATs were always third in streaming because we were the third biggest fandom. And that's just how it works. So the fact that ATs had to vote for these other groups that this other big group is elevating, purposefully elevating above ATs.
Right.
As much as they were going around like, no, that's not what we were doing. We were voting for everybody equally. You shut your face. I know. It is obvious that that is what was happening. They were voting for the boys. They were voting for SF9. They were voting for B2B and Icon. Mm-hmm. They were voting these other groups up in order to push ATs down, which is literally what happened with Mnet when the girl group coalition got together and voted all the girl groups up, specifically because we've got the receipts, specifically to push ATs down. And it's like, why does ATs have you people so scared? Like, why are you shaking in your boots? They're just a boy group.
We know why, because their performances are so good. I've told you before that it was the Kingdom performances. I've told everyone, that the Kingdom performances made me an ATeenie. I was not an ATeenie. I was interested in ATs, which is why I watched Kingdom. At the point that I was watching these Kingdom, any other group could have stolen me away, right? Like if they'd had as powerful of performances, if I'd liked their songs as much, because at this point I was just like, oh, I've heard of ATs, I like their songs, I want to get more into K-pop, let me watch this show. So ATs was so powerful that they did make me an ATeenie, and I think people saw those performances and that they were scared because, like, they were so good. They were that good. They blew away all of the competition. I don't care what other people say about how good other groups did. Other groups did do good. It was not as good as ATs. They were the best. They had the best concepts. They had the best mixing of songs. They had the most interesting stages, most interesting, like, ways that the stages were put together. They had the greatest live performance where they were singing. Like they were performing live in a way that some of the other groups just were not doing. And I just don't care what anyone else says. I remember getting in trouble on Reddit once because I said that and people yelled at me because you just can't say nice things about ATs on Reddit.
Like, can't say ATs did better than this other group at this thing because that's being hateful to other groups. We can be hateful to ATs, that's fine, but don't hate on other groups.
I am also on Instagram. I like Instagram a lot for some things. Like, I do like making videos and posting videos, and I do that. I like making edits and I like posting pictures. But like you, I do favor a long form content, and I'm just never going to get that on Instagram. I have tried. I've tried to make it more long form, like put longer comments, or not comments, descriptions of my pictures or videos, and no one ever reads them. So, you know, that's just not what the platform is for, and that's fine. So like, I like some aspects of Instagram and I think it's fun, but it's also not a place where I can really fully do whatever I want and like engage in the exact way I want to. I find it hard. I like posting little stories, but those disappear unless you make a highlight. You can't long form share thoughts in them because then it's just gone.
Yeah.
I say that I'm on TikTok. That's not true. I have a TikTok. I post on TikTok. I never get on TikTok. I have watched maybe 3 or 4 videos on TikTok my entire time on that platform. And I've had some videos of mine that have had fairly good success on TikTok, but I am not an active participant in the TikTok community, and I never will be.
It's not the vibe. I feel Twitter complains about the TikTok H&Es a lot.
They do.
It feels like a lot of misinformation is a big thing on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, making edits and spreading just things that are just not even true. It's not even true. Twitter, I think, is pretty famous for just being the whiniest babies that ever existed. That is the vibe I get from Twitter, is that we're just going to be mad. We're going to be mad and unhappy, and we're going to complain about everything.
Well, we talked a bit about how some of the Reddit comments felt like they were coming from a place of hate, and that's also the problem with Twitter. When people are complaining about the members' hair or their styling, there was this thing recently where people were complaining about Yosong's bangs.
No. Okay, so a Yosong fan group, one of his fan accounts, which I am not opposed to a fan account, but I do feel like a lot of the AT's fan accounts are really leaning heavily into solo territory. Heavily into solo territory. One of the Yosong fan accounts created an email template to send to KQ, and it was a list of all of KQ's sins directly towards Yosong, and the list was, this is the list because I did read it, number one, that he's not getting enough lines. Tale as old as time. We've heard that one before. And two, finally, lastly, he's got bangs. And the fans are mad about it. It was sort of, they were mad about his hair in general. They were mad that he'd had the same hair for several months. And I was like, if one, it hasn't been that long. Two, he hasn't had the same hair for a long time. His hair was green for crazy form. What are you talking about? And three, why does it matter? Why does it matter what his hair looks like? Like, it's his hair. It's not your hair. It's his hair.
Right.
But specifically, they didn't like that he had bangs. And his fans prefer it when his hair looks like it does for Outlaw. So it's like, okay, so you would have been happy if his hair had just looked like Outlaw for several months. So it's not the length of time that the hairstyle is, but that
it's not the right hairstyle.
But that was it. Those were the two things on the email.
And this is an email about mistreatment.
It was mistreatment. Wasn't these are things that fans want. It was, this is about KQ's mistreatment of Yosong.
Bangs are mistreatment. One, this is crazy. We know that AT's has a say in their hairstyle. Even just look at Sonder in crazy form, right? He tried the red and he hated it, so he got rid of it so fast. They didn't say, no, Son, you have to keep this for however long we're promoting because you said you'd do it. Like, they let him change his hair. Like, Hongjoong changes his hair all the time. They let them do what they want. They obviously have input. They try to get them to, like, match a vibe, a style all together. But if Yosong hated having bangs, I'm so sure they'd let him get rid of them. Like, that's crazy. Citing that as mistreatment, to me, that email reads as, like, I secretly hate Yosong. I don't respect Yosong enough to think that he has a say in his hair, to think that he is able to come up with his own opinions and give them to the stylist. And also, I listen to their songs and I don't think Yosong's parts are meaningful. That's what I hear when I read that email, because when I listen to AT's songs, if I hear a Yosong part, I'm like, oh God, that was so good.
Yosong's parts always stand out to me.
Yeah, they're Yosong so and Wooyoung.
They don't just give them any old line.
Right.
They're not carrying the song.
Right.
But they get these really impactful, meaningful lines that you just don't forget. Somebody on Instagram posted a thing. It was, forget your birth sign. Which of Yosong's lines in the second verse is you?
Right.
And they had this compilation of all of Yosong's parts from the second verse, because they do. They tend to pull him out post-chorus as like, here you go, your treat.
Right. This is everything you've wanted, right? Mm-hmm. It hits every time.
Every single time.
Yeah, it's great that Yoon-ho gets like a lot of lines. Yoon-ho in general, I think, does have a lot of like melodic lines. Mm-hmm. It's rare that Yoon-ho has a part where I'm like, oh my God, that's the best part of the song. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the song. And I think there's good and bad in both of those. Like, Yoon-ho obviously also has some parts. Specifically, Woo-young and Yoon-ho's part in Crazy Form is this, like, where they're, like, back-to-back. It scratches something in my brain, so...
Yoon-ho's, like, slight yodel in Crazy Form?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so good. You know, there's something to be said for having more lines, but there's also something to be said for having the best lines.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we don't give Yoo-sung and Woo-young too more credit for having these incredible lines in the song. Mm-hmm. All we want to do is talk about the amount of time they have in a song instead of how good they are in this team song. In a team song, mm-hmm. they're standing out. And that's a big deal, I think. But we don't ever like focus on that. Anyways, emails like that, for me, they feel like they come from a place of hate. Like, you're not acknowledging all of the good that is happening here. And I get that all the time on Twitter. Oh, there was another Twitter thread recently. Now that Golden Hour promotions are over, we can all admit that this was a bad album, right? And it's like, what are you talking about?
I just don't get that. I don't get it. I have never received one iota of joy reading someone's negative opinion, even about artists that I don't really like. I am not really a Blackpink stan. I like some of their songs, but I generally just, there's something about that particular group just doesn't do anything for me.
Right. You don't vibe with it.
I don't. And I've told you, I have somehow gotten on Blink Twitter and I don't know how. I don't engage. I'm not a Blink. I don't understand.
You've blocked too many A-teenies.
I blocked so many A-teenies. A-teenies and stays. I have so many of them blocked that Twitter's like, okay, here, what about this? And I do think that it is because there was that drama with everybody was accusing Lisa of blackface, not blackface. Oh. I think blackfishing is probably the correct term, but they were accusing her of blackfishing when her concept photos came out for her recent thing that she did.
Yeah.
Rockstar, I think is what it's called. Because the colors were very, very saturated. And it was the same photographer, Jack something or other, that had done Hongjoong and Mingi for, what was that magazine he did it for? What if I did research and looked things up and new things?
Well, that's, no, we're not gonna do that.
No.
I have that magazine somewhere. That's why I looked behind me trying to find it.
We'll link it in the description. But it was the same photographer that had done Hongjoong and Mingi for that magazine.
Altered States.
Altered States. It was the Altered States magazine. It was the same photographer, and still, and I guess that's just like his style had a very like saturated, you know, deep colors. Of course, Lisa has also been criticized before for cultural appropriation of Black culture, and I'm not going to speak on that conversation because I have no right. And I also haven't looked into it. So I'm just going to leave that right there. But they were dragging Hongjoong and Mingi into the conversation because it was the same photographer, same style.
Right.
But a lot of people were criticizing her for that. But I have now gotten on the side of Twitter where the Lilies and whatever Jennie's stans are called are just going after each other. I've gotten on the side of Twitter where the aespa stans are really getting after the Seraphim stans and the Ives stans, and the armies are also there.
What a bad Twitter experience you're having.
And it's like, and it's just been so wild to like read all of this back and forth, and it's so hateful and it's so pointless and is accomplishing absolutely nothing. And even though I don't particularly like any of these groups, I have no emotional attachment to them. I genuinely do not care what anybody thinks about anything, but reading all of these negative, hateful opinions is such a bad time. Like, it's not bringing me any sort of joy. I'm not getting any sort of delight out of hearing somebody talk about how stupid Lisa's rap is in Rockstar.
Right.
Do I like Lisa's rap in Rockstar? No. But is it making me happy that this other person also doesn't like Lisa's rap in Rockstar? No. So I don't understand this. And I know that social media is entirely built upon the idea of engagement, and being angry is what keeps people engaged. and we are the product and it is the advertisers that are the customers. Mm-hmm. Like, I get all of that, but I still right. also don't get it. I don't understand why people really lean into this idea that it's the complaining and the being angry and mocking people that is the good time.
Right.
It's not a good time.
It's not. And I think that both of us have never enjoyed hating things. Mm-mm. I said the other day that if you showed me a K-pop group that's not ATEEZ, I would not know who they are. Mm-hmm. Like, it does, I would know BTS. Like, I could recognize them. Mm-hmm. But if there is music that I do not like, I don't listen to it and I don't talk about it and mm-hmm. I don't even like look at it. Yeah. Like, it's just gone for me. I've talked about blocking accounts on Twitter. Like, if I've blocked an account on Twitter, that account no longer exists to me.
We don't go back and check up and see what they're up to.
Right. I'm not interested in what they're doing. I've never been the type of person who really wants to talk about things that I dislike. Mm. And it does feel like Twitter leans so heavily into talking about things that people dislike. I will say that Instagram is much better in mm-hmm. that regard. I rarely see people posting hate on Instagram. The things that I have seen are things like complaining about KQ doing a bad job, which is also a conversation that I don't have like a ton of interest in when mm-hmm. it doesn't have any nuance, which it rarely does on social media.
The KQ is doing a bad job just equals KQ is not doing what I want.
Right.
That's literally all it boils down to every single time. KQ isn't doing what I want them to.
It's so interesting to me that so many people on Twitter are running multi-million dollar corporations and know exactly what those corporations should be doing in order mm-hmm. to make money. Like, that's so incredible that mm-hmm. so many ATEEZ.
You know, so many ATEEZ are wildly successful in the field specifically of K-pop and marketing.
And music production.
I don't know how they have the time to be on Twitter.
It's really incredible. It's really impressive.
So impressive. And it's nice that they have their resumes just posted right there on Twitter so we can see and we just know.
You know, people will probably accuse us of being KQ company stans as if we care.
I am a KQ company stan. I have the playlist to prove it.
You can call me that all day. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we think KQ is nailing it every time. We, in fact, have a...
You just wait for our KQ Do Better episode. It's going to happen.
We have a fairly long list mm-hmm. of things that we want KQ to do better mm-hmm. on. So it's not that there's no complaints that can be made about KQ. It's just that the ones that are made on Twitter don't feel like they come from any sense of reality, mm-hmm. any sense of understanding, uh-huh. race.
Well, I would say that our list of KQ's sins are not things they've done to ATEEZ, because that's right. honestly not really any of my business. I'm not in that room.
Right.
All of KQ's sins are ones they've done to me. Personally. Uh-huh. And that is a room. That's a room that I'm in. And I can speak on me being upset about how come I don't get to have access to the Teasmons. I don't get access to the Teasmons. I'm upset about that.
I'm upset about it too. Even though I have them, it took a mm-hmm. lot of money mm-hmm. and effort mm-hmm. for me to get them.
Yeah.
And I wish that it had taken less.
Right. And I was not willing to go to all of that effort. I wish for it to be handed to me with ease.
I agree. We've talked about why don't we defend ATEEZ. There's nothing to defend ATEEZ on mm-hmm. from the company, because I believe that ATEEZ are grown men who are in their jobs, mm-hmm. who are capable of making decisions, speaking for themselves, and having control over their careers. Mm-hmm. If they say something to me that suggests that that is incorrect, I would be more than happy to back them up. I would be there in a heart. Mm-hmm. But everything they've said is Hong Jung saying, oh, the CEO gave us even more money because yeah. he thought we deserved it. Yo mm-hmm. Song in his lives saying, I hope my KQ family is happy. Hong Jung crying at a concert because he's upset that KQ is getting attacked. Mm-hmm. Son thanking the KQ staff for the meeting. Like, all we have are these examples of them thanking them and being grateful.
Do you know, this is just a fun little tidbit. I was, the last time that ATEEZ were mad at Eden, mm-hmm. I was
also an Eden stan. I'm sure that's clear from the foot pick episode.
The last time H&Es were mad at Eden, it was when he deleted his Instagram, or it was taken away, or whatever happened with that.
Right.
I was trying to find out, and with the truck, I was trying to get more information about the truck. Because again, well-curated timeline. I've blocked everybody.
We should tell people what the truck is.
I don't even know, though.
It's Schrodinger's truck.
It is Schrodinger's truck. It both does and does not exist, because I have still to this day. Okay, so here's the story. It was on a Tuesday. I remember specifically.
Rainy Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday that someone, and I don't know if anybody ever took credit for it, but somebody sent a truck to KQ, allegedly, with the message that they were mad about Woo-young and Yo-sung's, they wanted to give Woo-young and Yo-sung more lines and Woo-young more dance time. And it was like, stop holding them back. It was like, the messaging was very vague to me. It was three different slides on this truck of messaging. And what was very telling was that, one, there was an English translation on the truck. So I'm like, okay, this is not Cajunese. This is obviously somebody from the Western world, because Cajunese would not bother with English.
No.
Also, I never saw the truck in context. I just saw the screen of the truck. I didn't see the truck. I didn't see the full truck. I didn't see the truck parked anywhere in particular. And I remember Hongjoon went live like not long after that, a couple days after this. And I thought, sure, he was going to like address it and be like, we're so grateful that y'all care so much, but don't, you know? And he didn't. Nobody has ever said anything about it. KQ never said anything about it. And it was like, after it happened, it just vanished. Nobody talks about it. Nobody was talking about it a couple days later. It didn't reach the wider H&E Twitter, I didn't think, the way that stuff like that normally does. Normally, even though I do have like everybody blocked, I still am aware of what's going on, because people on my timeline will be talking about it, referencing it. And there just was not, like, I had to go searching for it. But anyway, in the midst of all of that, I think Eden was trending and I clicked on it. And you know how when you first click on it, it's the top and not the most recent?
Yeah.
The top result for Eden was a conversation that Woo-young had. Woo-young, our very own Woo-young. Back in the early days, he was saying that every single time they would release an album, he would text Eden Hyung and say, thank you so much for making us a good album. And Eden, this was Eden in an interview or something, some kind of content. Eden said that one time Woo-young didn't do it. And Eden texted him and was like, what's going on? And Woo-young was like, well, I guess I've gotten mature now. And I was like, that's such a cute little story that tells us, it's such an insight into the relationship the members have with Eden specifically. Eden is so obviously a very private person.
Right.
I don't know anything about him.
I know he got married a couple years ago.
I know he got married because we know that, not because he said anything, but because AT's...
I think it was announced.
Like, it was officially announced, but I don't remember Eden talking about it. I don't remember him posting any pictures on his, like, personal Instagram.
Right.
He didn't really... I know he posted pictures of, like, the honeymoon, and there was some stuff of AT's at the wedding. We got a little bit of that. But we just don't... And he's done very few interviews over the years.
And every single one that he's done is so precious to me.
We just don't have the same amount of content from him as we do from other members. And I know I mentioned this to you. Maddox recently did the live or did a vlog. He's gotten back into his vlogging because he took a break for a while and now he's back. And he is a precious, precious human. Love him so much. When I say I'm a KQ company stan, he is also under that umbrella. I'm talking about the producers. I'm talking about my favorite security guard. I love him.
The managers.
I'm talking about all of them. The babies. I'm talking about Eden. I'm talking about everybody who steps in that building and is part of that family. And the new producers, Bomb. I'm so excited about Bomb. He's lovely. Would love to hear more from him. Door is also there, I believe. Anyway, all these people. But anyway, so Maddox went live, and I know I told, like, one person was like, when I say I hate KQ or that I don't trust Eden, Ordinary. I'm not talking about Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's interesting to me. He's the only one out of all of Edenary that we get regular content from. And I do feel very strongly that if we were getting more content from these other members, like from the other members of Edenary, like if we're hearing from them more,
mm-hmm.
if we were actually hearing their voices and what they have to say and their mm-hmm. perspectives, I think we would be getting a lot less of that just making Eden the boogeyman of the here's, mm-hmm. we've got to have an enemy, so let's just make it Eden.
When you don't have information, it's so common to just create your own narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have much information about Eden, it's so easy to say that he has ill intent mm-hmm. and that he hates certain members and whatever. We just don't know anything about him, so it becomes very easy to make him a scapegoat for every problem. You know, Maddox is in Edenary as well.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every song that Eden produces, Maddox produces too.
Mm-hmm.
And other producers, right? So anytime we're having a line distribution conversation, there are other producers in that conversation.
Right.
The one time we did get to see Eden in some recent content was that Coachella Behind.
Mm-hmm.
We were both so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this wonderful moment where Hongjoong is like, the members and I have been talking and we want to do this. And he very confidently and easily tells that to Eden,
mm-hmm.
who then I think talks to the stage manager. It's unclear who he's talking to,
mm-hmm.
but they work out on the fly a way to incorporate what ATEEZ wants to do. So anytime I am thinking about what is happening on stage, what ATEEZ is doing, I'm keeping in mind that ATEEZ expressed an opinion in these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite, actually it's not a good story, but one of the things I think about a lot is during, I think it was the Break the Wall concert is when they sang Mist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we saw it happen in Korea first, right? We had videos come out of there because Hongjoong had let them record it for mm-hmm. the first time. It may have even been live streamed one of the nights. They started singing Mist. Mingi sang his part and there was a lot of auto-tune on it. And ATEEZ immediately started complaining, how dare you do this mm-hmm. to Mingi's part? You ruined Mingi's part, KQ. And then like a couple hours later, Mingi comes online and he's like, oh yeah, did you hear the auto-tune I added? Wasn't mm-hmm. that fun? Mm-hmm. I thought it would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Mingi did that. So when we complain about these things, there's a non-zero chance, probably like a 75% chance that we're complaining about something that ATEEZ directly decided they wanted to do.
You know, Sun's chestnut haircut, which he specifically said that it was something that he had been wanting and he got it done, and then he got it done again later, and all of the people complaining, like, you are complaining about a thing that Sun made that choice about.
Mm-hmm. Sun made that choice and Sun likes it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like too often that is lost in the conversation when people are complaining about Eden or KQ. ATEEZ are also in charge of their career and we don't know what choices they've made.
I do feel like it's based in this idea that I don't think is entirely true anymore, especially not for KQ, based on everything that we know. But I know that there is this perception of K-pop
mm-hmm.
that the idols are just action figures.
Yeah, little baby dolls.
They're little babies, they get dressed up real pretty, and then the companies themselves are pulling every single one of the strings. They're controlling them, they're controlling their diets, they're controlling what they wear, they're controlling who they talk to. And that did used to be true.
And I think that is probably still true for
I think
some
it
companies.
Is true for some companies as well. And ATEEZ act like that is also true about ATEEZ and KQ, that ATEEZ mm-hmm. are just the action figures and they're just little babies and they need us to step in and make demands on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't.
Right.
We just have so much evidence that KQ will make a mistake. For instance, let's take Sanghwa in Fever Part 1.
Yeah.
There is the narrative that KQ forced him to take on the role of the ab revealer.
Right.
And in order for him to be prepared for this role of ab revealer, he had to go on this crash diet and just basically wasn't eating anything for a long time so he could get super mm-hmm. slim and he could get that really like waifish kind of figure that is popular. And later on, he would reveal that, like, he was the one that made the decision. I think he wanted that part.
They've at least talked before about when there is going to be an ab reveal. Mm-hmm. They kind of meet and say, does anyone want to do this? Because mm-hmm. They talked about that with Yosong at Deja Vu.
Mm-hmm. But the narrative was like it was forced on him and he didn't mm-hmm. want to do it and he had to go through all this struggle and he really was being taken advantage of and all of this stuff. And then we come to find out later that after that happened, in the aftermath, when obviously he wasn't treating himself very well, KQ mm-hmm. responded by hiring health
nutritionists
and yeah. you know, coaches. So that was that something they should have done before? Probably.
Yeah.
But ATEEZ is their first group,
right?
That they have brought up from scratch, and you right. know that this particular group of people, because I think most people that worked with Block B are gone now.
Yeah,
they saw that there was a problem and they responded in like the best possible way. They right. were like, here, we want to make sure that you're healthy moving forward, so all of these dieting decisions are going to go through this nutritionist.
Right,
we just really really want KQ to be a villain. We have to have a villain, and it can't mm-hmm. possibly be ATEEZ. So I'm like, why can't the villain be Mnet? Why can't we go back to the villain just is Mnet?
Well, they are villainous as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's an easy thing in life, right? Like, we want to have someone who's holding us back because it's easy to blame someone for our circumstances or for what has happened mm-hmm. to us, instead of it just being like, oh, well, things happen.
Yeah.
And I think I had said this in our very first episode, KQ has always shown that they are trying. Mm-hmm. They don't always nail it. They don't always get it right the first time. They don't always do the job the way that I would do it, but they do consistently show that they are listening mm-hmm. and trying. And that is really all I can ask from a corporation, mm-hmm. which is, you know, designed to make money, which KQ is. Because you have to keep that in the background. Like, KQ is a corporation. They're mm-hmm. not a person. They are a corporation. There are people working there. Mm-hmm. And we have to assume that the people working there are doing their best unless mm-hmm. we are shown otherwise.
Right. One thing I would like to point out is that there's been very, very little staff turnover at KQ yeah. over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, if you read the credits at the back of the books, photo books and stuff in the albums, it's the same people mm-hmm. for years that have been with this company. And it's very odd to see a change. One change I did notice from Golden Hour is that one of their marketing people got promoted. Now they're like mm-hmm. the head of their own department. I'm like, oh, good for you. I love that for you. And they've had the same managers mm-hmm. this whole time.
Yeah, they rarely, rarely lose a manager.
And that is a sign of a healthy company.
Right.
When you have people that are happy enough to stay put, mm-hmm. they don't want to leave. They want to stay.
Well, that's the other thing too. This is a job. Mm-hmm. It's a job for ATEEZ. It's a job for all the people at KQ. It is a job. I think a lot of people who complain maybe have never had a job.
I do wonder about that. When they talk about ATEEZ being overworked and they need to take 3 months off. And I was like, excuse
God, three
me?
Months. But like, no person. There is not a person alive who every day at their job is a good day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you like your job. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get along with your coworkers. Sometimes you don't. But that's mm-hmm. the nature of a job. Do you have more good days than bad days? Are you personally fulfilled by your job? Those mm-hmm. are more important questions than, you know, did this one bad thing happen on one day?
Right.
Because it's a job. And I think that's often forgotten. Sometimes I think that what some ATEEZ want, and obviously when I say some ATEEZ, I mean ATEEZ who are very loud on Twitter, which mm-hmm. probably isn't even the majority of ATEEZ, right?
It's like, not. I guarantee you that the majority of ATEEZ are chill. They're normal. They're rational. They're not running with these narratives that are totally not true. They're just here to keep up with what's going on.
Right. The loudest voices get amplified mm-hmm. the most.
And that's the way in every community ever.
Right. But I think sometimes I look at these takes and I'm like, oh, you just want them to be like a kept boy. Like,
literally.
Put them in a room and take them out to perform like a little mm-hmm. dancing monkey. And then you just put them back in their room and they don't ever have to think. They don't ever have to work hard. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do anything. You want them to be like a little kept boy, mm-hmm. have the company provide everything for them, and they never have to worry or do anything. But that's not life, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's what ATs want. I think they want to work hard and feel like they've earned all of the things that are coming their way, which they absolutely have, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they want to be kept boys. No. I think Hongjoong in particular would be miserable as a kept boy. He needs his space to explore what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And a thing that I do like about KQ is that they do seem to give them space to explore. Like, they've given many of them studios to start exploring producing. I don't think they're trying to force them to produce, but giving them the opportunity to see if it's something they want to do. They gave them all an opportunity to write lyrics, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Who knows if that's something they want to do and keep doing in the future. If they do, then I hope that KQ continues to let them do that. But we don't know that that's something they want to do.
For instance, Jongo after Coachella, after that first week, he was like, oh wow, I didn't do the best. I'm gonna go take a vocal lesson on the next day.
And they I would never.
I know. But they still like support them growing and trying new things. Mm-hmm. And you know, Hongjoong with his guitar and learning new skills. And just the way that they support them when they want to try something that's like a little bit unusual. Like again, Jongo getting to go on that the billiard show.
I was just thinking about that.
That's so weird. It's not getting any new fans. It's not, you know, nothing. I don't think that that would have benefited ATs at all in the long run. I would dare say it doesn't even really benefit Jongo, but it was just a thing he wanted to do.
Right. And they could make it happen. And they were like,
okay, yeah, let's do it.
I am also thinking about Yoonho's birthday merch this past year. He had like the traditional birthday merch that all of them had, which was like a little box set and PC and a tiny little keychain that was so cute. But then he also released just a second merch that was like a little photo book of him. And he was like, oh, yeah, I just told the company that I wanted to do it. And they, you know, so we did it.
Well, Yosung, well, too, great. Like, his whole live was about him talking about developing the idea and telling them exactly how he wanted it to be. He wanted it to be very simple. He didn't want it to be super fancy. And and they were like, okay, yeah, we'll do it. And, like, they didn't have to. They didn't have to do that. Right. They could have been like, well, everybody's going to get the same thing and it's just going to be branded different for each member. But they let them, like, pick what they want to do and develop it in their own way.
And design it.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, that makes it so much more meaningful to us, the fans, too, that Yosung and Yoonho have, like, sat down and thought about what, how they want to tell and share this experience with us. And yeah, KQ could have just made, like, a really big, expensive thing that they put together, and Yosung had no part in it, and it's just pictures of Yosung, and then thrown it at ATEEZ and been like, buy this, and ATEEZ would have, because we buy everything. But they didn't do that. And those books are also very reasonably priced.
All of this is not to say, again, you can't ever speak anything about KQ without reminding everyone that we know that KQ is not perfect. We're aware. We do have our own complaints, like we said earlier. But it's just, I feel like the nuance is always lost on Twitter. Nobody wants to like look at all the facts. We want to twist the facts to fit the narrative that we have. And that's just not how logic works. So
I think nuance was also lost on Reddit, if I'm honest. Like, I think that was another thing that started to happen. I think a lot of Twitter users started coming to Reddit. And so the conversation and allowance of nuance also got lost there. And that didn't used to be the case. Maybe it's gotten better since I've been gone. I don't think it has.
I haven't been on there a lot. I got on there a couple weeks ago, again, when I wasn't on Twitter. I got off Twitter for a week. I just deleted the app back when there was a lot of struggle happening. And I was,
it was
just
when,
like,
Eden's Instagram disappeared.
Yeah, that same week. I was just like, I can't be, this is too much for me. It's too negative. It's making me sad. It makes me feel very frustrated and defeated anytime that happens. Anytime there's just this massive wave of negativity because the fandom is mad about a thing that I don't feel like the fandom really needs to be mad about.
Right.
You know, back when we were fighting with armies because Jeff Benjamin tweeted that San had said, you know, we will pave the way for you. And armies got mad about that. And they got mad about San was saying, saying, you know, you taught me how to love myself. They got mad about that too.
Right.
And so we were fully at war with armies. Mm-hmm. The negativity then didn't bother me because I'm like, no, this is fully justified for us to be upset with armies for this despicable behavior.
Right.
I'm on board with this.
Right.
I would have also been tweeting if I were a tweeter, which I am not and have never been. But it's when we're frustrated or when people are angry about things, it's like, we don't have to be angry. And we have so many good things that we could be rejoicing about right now.
Oh my God. When they were going to twin the KQ do better hashtag the day after Maoism, it together, please.
Like that just feels to me, that felt very targeted against Moroccan Etonies.
Mm-hmm.
They finally get a performance. We finally have a performance.
A huge performance
on
too.
The African continent. And no K-pop group ever does that, but we finally get one. And it was such a big deal. And I do feel like it's been massively downplayed, not just by media in general, but by Etonies. And I'm like, do y'all hear yourselves? Do you see your behavior? Do you see what you're doing right now? And
it's that Western validation thing, right? Coachella is a Western thing. So we can we're all going to hype it because that means that we've been validated by the Western population. But Maoism was a huge deal.
It really was.
And to plan to discuss a KQ do better hashtag the day after they were going to have this groundbreaking performance that we now know was so incredible, right? Like that performance was so incredible. Can you imagine what a punch in the face to 80s too, after preparing so hard, working so hard to get to the point where they're invited to this huge festival to knock it just right out of the park, just do an incredible job. And then your fandom, instead of talking about how wonderful you did, is trying to defend your honor from a company that's not hurting you.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I am kind of, but I'm also realistically not. But let's just say, if I wanted to destroy a fandom, if I really wanted to make a fandom experience unpleasant for a fandom group that I hated, I would play the long game. I would infiltrate. I would act like a fan. But anytime there was a problem, I would start nitpicking. I would blow up the problem to make it seem like it's way bigger than it needed to be. I would get all of my little friends to come along and be like, hey, you, come, we're going to infiltrate the ranks and we're going to make this place unbearable to be so that we can diminish them on this platform. That is what I would do. I would do exactly what Etonies are doing right now, is I would just get on there and I would just complain under the guise of I want the best for this group that I supposedly like.
Well, we know that some antis do that because we have receipts. We've seen it in the past.
Right.
We know that some antis infiltrate Etony Twitter and then just cause a ruckus. That is true. The other thing that I think is contributing to the negative experience is the rise of solo stans who do not care about ATs at all. They do not care about the group at all, but because they're Etonies, because they support one of the boys, they're on Etony Twitter, they're big in Etony Twitter, but if anything happens, they will take any opportunity to crap all over everyone else and everything that's happening, because what they really only care about is their main boy, whoever that is. And there are several boys who have solo stands that are insufferable. There's no other way to say it. They complain about everything all the time. It goes back to what I said about Yosang's bangs. I feel like it's coming from a place of hate. I just do.
I told you, I'm like, we're living in the rise of the solo stands. That is the era that we are currently in. And I'm seeing it with the new Instagrams coming out. And now we're getting more members are getting solo schedules. And it's like, you can predict what's going to happen. Because one thing, I'm going to make a prediction. I think that in the coming weeks, we're going to see Songhwa stans take issue with the fact that he has not been invited to any kind of a fashion event.
Right.
Mingi has, Hongjoong has, San has. Because I'm seeing, I saw a tweet earlier today where a fan of Songhwa, it's hard, I don't know if they're a solo stan. I didn't look into the account, but they were saying, okay, now that San has done it, let's get Songhwa up there. I've seen a lot of people say Songhwa would have looked really good in this outfit that San wore. He would have. I agree. He would have looked great.
And I also think that Songhwa should get a fashion schedule.
I agree.
That's not the conversation. Songhwa for sure should get one of these fashion schedules. but should we throw all the other members under the bus to in order to get that schedule? That's a different conversation.
Right. I have seen, like, I've seen people talk about, you know, Son's debut is the most impactful boy group debut. And I'm like, okay, Hong Jun also had one. Just can we remember Hong Jun also had one? And he looked fantastic. Yeah. Balmain has a different style than Dolce. It's a whole thing. So, but I do feel like people are starting to feel a lot more free about throwing other members under the bus and downplaying their contributions in the name of making this one member rise to the top. Right. I told you, I sent you the tweet of the person who extracted all of, I think, Hong Jun's lines from Hush Hush. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is such a weird way. And I've seen that for like almost every member. I have seen someone, one of their fan bases do Hong Jun cuts from Hush Hush, Yuno cuts from Hush Hush. I'm like, okay, this only makes sense if you're trying to teach me what Yuno's voice sounds like. But like, if I'm here, I should know what his voice sounds like, right? If I'm on a stan account. So it's just such a, like, fan cams are a different thing because you're not cutting out all the other members. The other members are still present. You can see them. You're still hearing the full song. That's a different situation. Having a fan account where you really just focus on Yuno content, that's a different situation. Having a bias is a different situation. I do have a bias line.
Yeah.
But I'm so strongly OT8. Like, at my very, like, the OT8 is the foundation that the bias line is built on.
I assume, and this is obviously wrong, but I assume it anyway. I assume that if you're an 18-y, you're OT8. Right. That's a starting point. So when I'm asking your bias, I have a basic assumption that you're OT8, but you have a bias.
Right.
Like, because I'm OT8. I love all members. A thing that Bobby and I do every week is we pick a member to be our patron saint of the week, who we can, like, look up to during the week and think about, and we pick from all members. Like, it doesn't matter who our bias is. I think my most common patron saint is by far Yosong, who isn't my bias, but obviously I love all of them, so it doesn't matter.
Right, because we pick boys that we think will give us the strength that we need for whatever the week is about to bring us.
Son is mine this week, for full disclosure. So the Son hate on his outfit really affected me personally.
Woo-young is mine this week. I don't know why. I just felt like maybe I didn't want to deal with anybody's nonsense. And when I don't want to deal with people's nonsense, I do tend to pick Woo-young, which might be why I'm feeling so combative this morning, where I'm like, no.
This is a Woo-san podcast this week.
But it's just really unfortunate to see, because I don't understand it. I don't get it. Mm-mm. I tend to have a bias in any group that I know anything about them. There will typically be a member that jumps out at me. I can just be watching. I think we were watching something. I think it might have been a K-Con. It might have been like a whatever. But I know that Enhypen came on. And you and I both like had particular boys that we were sort of drawn to. And it was like, I have, like, this boy is my bias for this performance. Like, I don't know anything about him. I don't know what their names are, but like, my eyes just
I don't even remember his name. I know I looked it up after that performance, but it's gone now.
I know. But for that moment, I had a bias. But I'm not anti everybody else on that, in that group.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It just, I just don't understand.
I'm not like, please push this other boy out of the way so that I can see my boy.
Yeah, I just don't, like, I'm like, can you just go follow a soloist?
Right.
Do you know who needs more stands? Gaho. Go follow Gaho. He's all by himself.
Oh, and he's so good.
You can follow him. Maddox is right there. Follow Maddox.
So good.
He is reportedly working on music. He released an excerpt in one of his recent vlogs. It was so good. I was like, please. The thing is, it's not even like my style of music. That kind of like white guy with guitar kind of music.
Yeah.
It was that kind of vibe, but it was so nice and pleasant. And I think it's just because it's Maddox. And because I am a KQ Company stan, I have more affinity towards whatever they release because I have a relationship with them, so to speak.
A one-sided relationship.
They sell me stuff. That's a relationship.
She says as she's wearing an AT-shirt right now. I am too.
I am also, for the record, wearing Woo Young's lip gloss. So Because I do that with my patron saint of the week, because I got the full set. I will wear their lip gloss for the week, although I think it's worn off. Because his is one that you just got to dab just the tiniest bit on there and get you just a bit. Because if you put the whole thing, it's like clown face.
So is Dung Ho's Sassy Tangerine. Mm. That's a strong color. Mm-hmm. Not made for me, but that's fine. I still wear it.
So yeah, I just don't understand. I don't get it. How that would be a happy thing. Why would you pick somebody Tobias that comes with seven other people? Or not Tobias, but solo Stan. Somebody who comes with seven other people that are just going to be there. And especially with a group like 80s who are just so obsessed with the fact that they are together.
I think that this probably gets into like psychology, mm-hmm. and we need to talk to like a real psychologist, but I imagine there is a type of person who is missing something in their lives and needs to fight for something or someone. We've talked about before, I can get really mad. I can get so mad. I can get super mad at someone online or whatever, but I can't hold that mad. I will be mad for like maybe a day, but I can never get mad in the way where I like am making an account and keeping it updated. That's never...
That takes stamina.
Right? Like that takes an energy that I don't have. Maybe it's because I'm old and I'm out of energy. But I don't have it. It's the same, I feel like, with solo standing. Like, I could never have the energy to be mad about all the other members of AT's taking away opportunities from, like, Jung Ho, you know? Like, I just couldn't. It wouldn't be able to hold that anger up for more than an hour.
Get exhausted and have to take a nap, and then you wake up and it's a whole new world.
Perhaps this is the benefit of being old.
Yeah, but I also think it has something to do with the fact that there's just so much trauma in the world. Mm-hmm. There's so many terrible things happening, and I think a lot of people feel powerless.
Right.
There's nothing that they can do to make any sort of meaningful change, and so they'll go and kind of work out that aggression elsewhere. Like, I can go on Twitter and I can make a complaint and a bunch of people are going to write, you know, reply to me and tell me that I'm right. Or they're going to argue with me, but that's going to give me that dopamine hit of interaction. And I just feel like it's, because it's not Antony Twitter, it's social media in general.
Right. People aren't wrong, right? Like, there is horrible stuff happening in the world that I'm absolutely powerless to change as a single person. But can I get really big on AT&E Twitter for, you know, hating on a member? Maybe.
Yeah, it might be something. It might make fill the void or make me feel better about myself.
And I do think it is a filling the void thing. I think social media in general is a filling the void thing. Which is not to say that that's bad. It also, fandom culture in general fills a void in my life. I am not a very religious person. So I don't have, like, a thing that I'm religiously motivated by or, like, a thing to keep me on the straight and narrow. And other than myself, there's nothing that's motivating me to be a good person, do a good person, other than the things that I find for myself. And in a lot of ways, ATs fills that void for me. Not to say that they're my religion, because there's not, even though we jokingly have those Bible studies. But like, being in a fandom gives me a community, much like a church would be. Being passionate about ATs gives me something to look forward to. I look forward to their music. I look forward to seeing them in person at their concerts. I look forward to their performances. It gives me things to talk about with my community. And in many ways, they all, like we, I just said that we choose patron saints each week from the boys. Like they personally inspire me to be a better person, because in all ways, they are better than me. So they, like, I'm getting a lot of the fulfillment of like a religious community out of ATs. And so like, I think it fills a void in everyone's life. It depends on what that void is, how you're engaging with it. The people who are combative, they have a different void they're filling, I believe.
At the end of the day, I think that social media is obviously a powerful tool. Nobody's going to argue that it's not, but it is important to find your people, find your place, find your own field of dreams, and be somewhere where you can continue to enjoy the thing that you love without having to deal with aspects that ruin your fun. There's enough going on in the world that ruins our fun, and I just don't think that fandom needs to be one of those things.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and will be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday when we drop new episodes. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at holochatpodcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.